Please join with me now in the reading of the unison prayer for illumination. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's lesson is from Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. Do everything without grumbling. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. These are the words of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Gail. And thank you, choirs. Wonderful music today. Thanks, Heather. And we even had a cameo from the Embers. That's the Embers, right? Four Tops? Embers. I think it's the Embers. You can correct me later if I'm wrong. In the late 1990s and early 2000s, there was a very popular comedian by the name of Mitch Hedberg. And his gimmick was that he did really quick jokes or one-liners, kind of in a mumbling tone of voice. He would often just stare straight down at the floor as he talked, and he would usually make a very funny joke about something completely normal. For example, this is one of his jokes. My friend asked me if I wanted a frozen banana, and I said no, but I want a regular banana later, so yeah. Think about it for a second. Another one is, I was watching TV and I was watching a fishing show. Every time they would catch a fish, they'd let it go. They didn't want to eat the fish, they just wanted to make it late for something. I had a friend who showed me a picture and he said, this is a picture of me when I was younger. Every picture is of you when you were younger. Well, he actually has a joke that's pretty relevant to today's Bible passage. And here it is. Sometimes I don't know what words mean, so I'll ask a friend to put it in a sentence. But sometimes a sentence isn't enough. So I'll say, put it in a play. I guess his style is just not y'all's. That's how it is with today's passage, though. There's some really choice words here that Paul has used, and we actually have some very well-known phrases from Scripture in this passage. And Paul has used his words very carefully and chosen some very rich words that oftentimes don't just get defined by a sentence, but need a lot more. You've probably heard the phrase, fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Probably also heard the phrase, shine like stars in the sky. You probably heard Paul say here and elsewhere, I do not run or labor in vain. And of course, be glad and rejoice with me. This letter to his friends in Philippi is a letter of joy. And you might have even heard the phrase warped and crooked generation before. That's something you might hear from time to time. But as I've been saying for a month now, the book of Philippians is a message of joy amidst trying circumstances. Paul wrote this from a prison in the city of Rome, and he sent it to his friends in the city of Philippi, which is about a 20 to 30 day journey on foot. Philippi was a major crossroads of the ancient world. If you wanted to get from Europe to Asia and you didn't want to be sacked by wild people up in the north, then you needed to either take a boat or go through Philippi. And I think today we can't quite grasp these logistics. For example, Kelsey and I are going to a wedding this coming Saturday. One of her best friends from high school is getting married to a guy from California. They each live in D.C. They met in Istanbul, which is about a 12-day walk from Philippi. Before working in Istanbul, the groom worked in Cairo and often visited Jemena, which is the capital of Chad. So at this wedding, there would be people from Georgia, Virginia, Turkey, Egypt, Chad, and even really weird places like California. It's going to be an interesting wedding weekend. But that's easy for us to do now. We can get people together like that. But when Paul was sending this letter, he had to have a person deliver this one letter, take a 20 to 30 day walk to do it. Today, we can just hop on an airplane and be in Winchester. But because Paul had this long, drawn-out process, they had sent him a letter, he sent them a letter, it doesn't mean that they have a better idea of what's coming, a better idea of what's going to be said. No matter how close the world is these days, the issue of language can still be very different among people. But today, most people who do business around the world are able to speak English. And back then, the language of commerce was Greek. And Paul used Greek to write his letters and to communicate with folks. Even though it was the Roman Empire, the common language was Greek. Well, it was that way because a few hundred years before, Alexander the Great had conquered most of the known world. And Alexander was from the area of Macedonia, which is where Philippi is. And in fact, his father had founded the city of Philippi. So Paul is writing in a language that essentially this form of the language initiated around the city of Philippi. So when he's picking his words, he's got to do it pretty carefully because it'd be like speaking proper English to someone in London, or the Queen's English, I guess, as we say. So Paul was writing in the language that the people in the city were very proud of. He's choosing his words carefully, knowing that what he'd be saying would be taken to heart and would probably be scrutinized. And maybe that's why he writes so much in this letter about joy. He's trying to keep the mood uplifting because he doesn't want to come off with a careless word. So at the risk of being especially boring this morning, I want to look at some of these words that Paul has written. And we'll start with the first verse that Gail read for us. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I've said this over and over, but it's amazing that Paul writes these letters from prison, but still has a joyful tone. Lots of his other letters were full of correction and criticism, but Paul here is saying, my dear friends. And he's not just saying, my dear friends, to be polite. The word he uses is actually beloved, my beloved. The word is agapetos, which if you've ever heard the word agape, love, that's where it comes from. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. But the word he uses for obey doesn't just mean obey. The word is hupakauo. Does anybody want to say that with me? Hupakauo? It doesn't just mean obey. It actually means go and see who's at the door. That's interesting. Obey, go and see who's at the door. One who knocks. Go listen for the one who is knocking. So Paul's saying, dearly beloved, just as you have always answered the door, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that's a pretty well-known phrase there, fear and trembling. So what do we think of when we hear fear and trembling? Well, the word Paul uses for fear means fear. And the word he uses for trembling means trembling. So, not a whole lot of richness there. But fear and trembling, how do we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? It sounds scary. It sounds intimidating to work out our salvation, to live out our faith. And it makes a life of faith sound scary and intimidating if we have to work it out with fear and trembling. But when we think about it, faith is scary and intimidating. Having the faith that God is at work, but not knowing how he is at work, can be scary. It can be a trembling matter. When we lose someone, when we get ominous medical news, when anything happens that reminds us that we're not in control of our lives, it's scary. It leads to fear and trembling. When those kinds of things come knocking at our doors, it can be quite scary to go and answer the door. Now, I'll tell you, living on Main Street, sometimes we get unexpected knocks on our door. Recently, Kelsey and I were sitting in our den on a Sunday afternoon, and our doorbell rang. And we have a camera at our front door, so we pulled up the app, the security app, to see who was at the door. And all we saw was a pair of muddy pants. So we talked for a second about whether or not we should go and talk to this strange man at the door. We finally decided that I'd go and get the door. I'll be honest, I had a little bit of fear and trembling, just uneasiness about folks randomly knocking on our door. So I walked out into the hallway, and there at the door, looking through the glass at me, was C.B. Strange. We literally had a strange man at our door. And his pants were muddy because he'd been working out on his farm. And he had just come into town for something and stopped by to ask me a question. I was scared to go answer the door, but when I did, I found one of the friendliest faces that I know. So that's a literal example of answering. There you are, CB. So that's a literal example of answering the door. But there are other ways that this happens. A few of you have recently told me about medical reports that you've received that are really, really scary. When those come knocking, we have fear and trembling. But look at what Paul says next, or listen for it. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. When scary things come knocking at your door, God is right there knocking as well. That doesn't necessarily mean that things will be less scary. In fact, it can be even more scary sometimes to admit that God is in control and we aren't. And actually, the word for trembling doesn't just mean trembling. It's tromos. And it also means the anxiety of one who distrusts his own ability to meet all requirements, but religiously does his utmost to fulfill his duty. And that's what's meant by trembling. The anxiety of one who distrusts his own ability to meet all requirements, but religiously does his utmost to fulfill his duty. And that's a mouthful. And in Greek, it's one word. And that's what trembling means. And isn't that what it also means to live a life of faith? God is going through our scary times with us. That's why Paul says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that we can't do everything ourselves, but still following our duty. Paul doesn't mean that we actually have to earn our own salvation, but we certainly have to work it out. We have to work out what it means and how to live when we know that God is in control, when we know that our deliverance has already been accomplished by Jesus, but we still have to live lives in service to him. Being people of faith means that we will have to go through some fear and trembling. In fact, we should go through some fear and trembling. But the good news is that just as he came to us in Christ Jesus, God comes to us in life to walk with us in those times. But if we're all going through scary times, uneasy times, uncertain times in life, how does that affect our relationships with one another? How does that affect our relationships as followers of Jesus? When we're scared or the future is uncertain, it's often the case that we're a little bit on edge, bristly, hypersensitive. We can doubt ourselves. We can doubt one another. We can get frustrated by things, envious even. When we're scared, we can get wrapped up in resentment and pettiness and doubt. Paul knows this. And that's why his next words are these: do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. On the one hand, Paul knows that his friends in Philippi are on edge. It shouldn't be that easy to live the Christian life now, and it certainly wasn't that easy to live the Christian life in the city of Philippi 2,000 years ago. And he knows that this can put people on edge, so he tells them, don't grumble or argue. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. But in the words he uses, there's also a sense of internal grumbling and arguing. The word for grumble is a really good one. Gagasmas. Gagasmas. I think that's onomatopoeia. And it can also mean secret displeasure. The word for argue means the thinking of one who is in self-deliberation, self-turmoil. So we shouldn't grumble and argue with one another, but we also shouldn't let those kind of behaviors overtake ourselves amidst our fear and trembling. We should allow God to enter into our fear and trembling so that we can demonstrate faith and trust. Within ourselves, we should feel godly responses to the world. We should feed godly responses to the world and not doubtful and resentful approaches to the world. This week, Kelsey received a note from one of her sisters that contained a story. Some of you might have heard this story before. There's a Cherokee legend about an elderly Cherokee brave who tells his grandson about life. He says, "Son, within all of us there is a battle of two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside of you, and inside every other person too," explained the wise Cherokee elder. The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The grandfather simply replied, "The one you feed. The one you feed." So the question is, which wolf do we feed? The evil one? The good one? In the midst of fear and trembling that just comes with life, which wolf do we feed? The bitter, angry one? Or the one who is the Holy Spirit, who can calm us and guide us, who can give us faith even amidst the most difficult experiences? As Paul put it, do everything without feeding the desire to grumble and argue, not just with each other, but within yourself as well. In Jesus' own words in the book of Revelation, he's speaking to the church in the city of Laodicea, and he says, "These are the words of the true, the faithful, and true witness, the Amen, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This also is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amidst our fear and trembling, we have the opportunity to answer the door. Answer the door not just to what scares us and causes us to doubt, but answer the door to Christ. Answer the door to his peace, his serenity, his love, and his compassion. We have the opportunity to obey by answering the door and allowing God to guide all of our fear and trembling so that, like Paul says, we may shine like stars in the sky and rejoice with him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.